can see clearly now the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way.
Well, hello, everybody.
Hello,
Stephanie.
Such a pleasure.
Well, you know, we were going to interview David Weissman today, who is an ex-MAGA Trump supporter and is now a liberal. And so this song was chosen specifically for him. But unfortunately, we had technical difficulties and he's not going to be here. So everything that we had prepared is just kind of going out the window, and Steph and I are going to wing it. But there's
but
so much to talk
about. We ain't got no problem winging it.
Because there's so much to talk about that I think that we'll probably have to cut ourselves off. And
as usual.
Yeah.
And by the way, you know, we did try, David, thank you so much for making the effort.
Yeah,
and
we're
going to have him back.
We're going to try to have him back. He was just, I think there was some issues with his Skype, and we tried another method and it didn't work. So we did give it a good try and effort, but it just, it didn't work out. It wasn't meant to be for today. So, no. But that's okay, because we will hopefully get with him another time. And then in the meantime, oh my God, like there's so much crap to talk about.
I know.
And I have so many opinions.
So many opinions. Where should we start?
Well, first, why don't we start with letting everybody know they can become support our show by becoming monthly subscribers, and it's really easy. All you have to do is go to patreon.com/startmeup, and you subscribe for whatever, $1, $5. $5 gets you into and another thing, which is where Steph and I talk about really important private shit that we don't talk about publicly. And extremely important, like top secret and uber personal. And you know, you can also just be really generous and give us more, which would be great, because we're independent and it's a lot of work for us to do this. So $1 a month is almost nothing, right? How much do you spend on lattes? How much do you spend on just like nothing?
You can't get a latte for $1, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, how much, if I go, when I go into the office and I walk across the street and get my, I buy a coffee, I'm like $6 in before I
totally.
Tip.
Totally. Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
So $1 a month is $12 a year.
That is true. And people that are already subscribers, thank you so much, because it is work, but it's, I think the message right now more than anything, like I feel like it's critical that we continue to do this and that we share our thoughts, opinions, and discoveries with one another, because this is the only way we're going to change this horrific situation that we are in right now.
Oh my God, and horrific is exactly it. And so why don't we just like start talking about, there's the Manafort trial, let's, and I hate giving attention to Omarosa. I don't want to give her any credit, but I do think because she is out there and she's pissing Trump off by taking attention away from him, and she's claiming she has all these tapes. It's like, I've seen the argument that people have, I posted this on my Facebook page today, but people are like concerned that if this tape comes out with the N-word, that it's going to just make it more acceptable. But my take on this is it's already, the cat is out of the bag. You know, I mean, we've already seen him mocking disabled people on television. We heard him talking about women, grabbing women by the pussy. He's said that there are some fine Nazis, fine white supremacists. So it's like, okay, the N-word is just one more layer. It doesn't mean that, oh, this solidifies that he's a racist. That's already been solidified. We already know. His actions prove it.
That's called fact. We know this next, right?
So, and, you know, I mean, obviously we're seeing, every single day we're seeing some fucking video of a white person calling the police on an innocent black person because they're napping in, you know, in a school public area, or they're selling cookies or whatever they're doing. It's like these crazy
the
ass fucking white
they
people.
They have a hijab on.
Yeah.
They're getting harassed. It's given license to people who are already racist to just come out and fly the flag.
Right.
And to harass people in person. God help any of those people if they do that in my presence. All I need is a nudge.
Yeah.
A nudge. I'm not going to hurt anybody.
Right.
But this mouth is not going to stop flapping.
We all have phones now, and you know we're going to say something, and you know we're not going to stand by idly and watch people harass other people. But no. I think these tapes should come out. And it's basically for historical record. You know, we
yes.
need, and it's also the fact that this country has always had a racist underbelly. People, you know, and I think that we probably always will. There will always be bigots, always be sexists, always be racists. It's better when they're quiet and they feel shamed into silence. But at the same time, they exist. And so I think it should come out because there's a lot of people out there who are, A, not paying attention. Maybe they're on the fence and they're really not Democrats, but they want to support Trump, but, you know, and maybe they're not fully informed. This will be a shocking revelation to a lot of people who are not really quite paying attention or understanding what's going on. I don't think this will do a damn thing to persuade his base to go against him.
I think it's going to make them happier.
Exactly.
I think they're going to like it.
Yeah, I think that they'll
it's
feel like validated.
Right.
Yeah.
There are no repercussions for racism.
No.
I mean, regular people are losing their jobs. Mm-hmm. Regular people are, you know, not being given service in public places, you know, things like that. But there are no repercussions for Trump or the people in his administration for carrying on and separating brown children from their families and, you know, lying to the American people on a daily basis about, you know, whether or not these separations or these decisions are being made, whether they're racially motivated or not. I mean, they're going to keep lying until they're out. And you know, I keep saying to myself, it's going to be soon.
Yeah.
It's going to be soon because there are more people who disagree with that way of thinking than there are his base, right?
Well, and I think, though, I mean, I've been thinking that, you know, outside of this racist comment and all of this stuff that's happening with Omarosa, and I don't know if she's going to be, you know, people were saying, oh, is Stormy going to be the one to bring him down? Now people are saying, is Omarosa going to be the one? I don't know that it's going to be any one person. I think it's just going to be, I think what's going to happen is something is going to come out of the Mueller investigation. And whether that's just Mueller going to Congress and saying, you know, look, he obstructed justice. Now you have whatever it is. I think there's going to be that big bomb that drops. And I think once that bomb drops, all hell's going to break loose. I think that, Trump's behavior is going to become erratic, and God only knows what we can expect from him once that goes down. And also, you know, we've got the midterms coming up, and if we're fortunate enough to survive the Russian cyber attack and win the House back and maybe even the Senate, or at least some more seats in the Senate, again, that's going to be... it's just going to be like this big perfect storm of fucking crazy that I think we're riding right into it. You know, I mean, I had this dream several weeks ago that I was looking at a tornado, and I'm just wondering if what I was dreaming is something, you know, whatever that it's going to happen. It's not going to be, you know, one person who all of a sudden changes everything. I think it will be a big truth drop that comes out, and then that just sets off hysteria. And then what's going to happen? I mean, I think we're going to need is like people are going to have to, I guess, decide in this country how they're going to react and how we're going to proceed, because we have one choice right now that's going to determine whether we keep this country and try to repair it or if we just lose it. And I really think, because it's like, it doesn't matter if we win, you know, if Democrats win back the House, there are still so many problems that need to be addressed. Fox News, you know, regulating the internet. We can't have, I don't give a shit what Jack and, you know, Twitter Jack and,
fucking Jack.
Yeah. And what's his name from Facebook? Mark Zuckerberg. I don't give a shit what they think. If news is going to be spread on their platforms, it's got to be regulated. Cable stations are regulated, aren't they? I think they are. I know television stations are. I think,
it's FCC.
Yeah. And since there is, you know, like Fox News is registered as an entertainment network. not as a news network, but they have a division that they call news. They should have to answer to higher standards if they're not really news. They can't lie and say it's news, but they are right now. They're able to do this. So things need to change in this country beyond just winning the House back. I mean, once we win the House back, I think we need to try very hard to change the way we, you know, not elect presidents, but vet presidents or presidential candidates. You know, I think they should be required to show their taxes. I think that...
Oh, my God.
I think they should
be... You can't run unless you do.
Exactly. And I think they should also be required to at least pass the same test an immigrant has to pass in order to become a citizen. At least. I think it should be tougher. But if they can't...
It should be a little tougher.
Like, Trump wouldn't be able to figure... He wouldn't be able to do it.
No, he wouldn't. He absolutely not.
So I think there should be certain obstacles that, a presidential candidate it has to overcome in order to even get on the ticket or, you know, to run, I should say. So, I mean, there are so many things that need to be addressed beyond just changing up Congress. So, this is truly our acid test as a nation. We are in a civil war, but it's not a bloody civil war. You know, it's a civil war
not yet.
And it's not so much of this is not even being acknowledged by the administration. So there are a lot of people in this country who don't even realize that we're being attacked by Russia right now. You know, there's millions and millions of people walking around clueless. And it's just, and then on top of it, there's the far left who, you know, there's this man on Twitter who we used to follow each other, and I'm not going to say who he is, but what?
Well, I know who you're talking about.
Oh. Who said to me the other, he basically called me, he said that I was in go back to your Putin gate or something like that. And
oh,
it's like,
Christ.
What? And I looked down his feed and I saw all of this Glenn Greenwald crap and, you know, WikiLeaks. And so he's one of these far left liberals who's criticizing the Democrats. And I didn't realize when, you know, I thought he had a cool Twitter name. And, you know, from the little bit that I saw of him, I just figured he was a regular old liberal. He wasn't. And so there's all this group of, you know, there's these groups of people who are arguing for third party candidates. They don't even realize that the Green Party is totally being weaponized by Russia and the Republicans. And, you know, I mean, there's so many people who just don't even have a clue about what's happening. So, I mean, so like I said, it's going back to there's so much that we need to address that it's not just one simple thing. But I do think we are headed for like... When they say constitutional crisis, I think we're also going to be dealing with like an American human crisis. We're going to have to get our shit together. And I hope that we do.
We do. And I think, you know, oh, my God,
sorry,
there's
for the noise.
Just so much to say. You know, when we were getting ready to start the show, we're talking about all sorts of stuff. And something came to mind for me when we're, you know, talking about David Weissman being a former MAGA and now coming over. And he had said something on Twitter about people not maybe being willing to accept him or listen to his opinions because he's new to the liberal movement. And it's like, oh, my God, welcome.
Yeah.
But the other thing that I think we need to keep in mind as we're dealing with this human crisis is... There are people who we disagree with vehemently, you know, racists who can change their minds and who can change the way, you know, stuff happens that I really truly believe people can change. And I think really profound occurrences in a person's life can really cause you to change. I mean, you know, I'm not proud of every decision I've made. I'm not holier than thou. I'm a lunatic still, and I make mistakes all the time. But when a person is willing to listen to somebody who has a totally opposite view and say, all right, I'm going to hear you out because we are people and we need to look out for each other or this is all a fucking lost cause, right?
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that it gets to the point where And I just looked at my notes and saw the name Sarah Palin. And then immediately I'm like, could I sit across a table from her and have a decent conversation with her and not want to poke her eyes out? But, you know, we have to be willing to hear the other side and say, okay, we're going to listen to one another. And then maybe we're going to come to an agreement on how we can move forward together as a human race, mm-hmm. and have everybody's best interests in mind. Even the shitty Trump rally attending, middle finger giving, screaming, eyes bulging, angry white people.
Yeah. Well, you know, obviously there's a certain portion who have just gone over the edge and will never be able to reach them or find some compromise. And I think somebody like Sarah Palin is so invested in her brand because it is income. I don't think that she is necessarily going to see the light. But
no, because money is in her life. Money rules.
Right. And, you know, but every once in a while you do get these people like David Weissman, who's like, oh, and I wanted to ask him about this, but I believe that part of his evolution, if you want to call it that, is a conversation that he either engaged. I think Sarah Silverman quote tweeted him when he tweeted something out that was like a MAGA tweet, and the conversation or the exchange kind of woke him up, and he's, you know, an army veteran. And I think he kind of looked at that and whatever she said to him, which I don't know, kind of got him to open up his eyes. And, you know, I mean, I do hope we can interview him, because I would love to ask him things like, are you going to, you know, are you just a never Trumper, or are you truly liberal? And what is being a liberal mean to you? You know, abortion, taxes, LGBT community, civil rights, all of that. You know, I mean, is that something mm-hmm. that, you know, so I think there's going to be a few people who, you know, who are in the Trump corner that will wake up, but most of them won't. And right. most of them have been raised on, you know, it's a generation of them that have been raised on Fox and you know, Alex right. Jones. And then there's the older people who have, you know, I don't understand why, but I mean, there's that really great documentary, what is it? Something About My Father. Do you remember, Bob? Brainwashing of My Father.
Yes.
And so this woman was talking about her father, who used to be a liberal, and then he started listening to news radio, and he was, like, for instance, Rush Limbaugh was in his ear. And the thing about that talk radio, that toxic talk radio, you are alone with those. You know, if someone's listening to us in the car right now or listening to us, you feel like you're part of that conversation. You feel like you're in on it. And mm-hmm. so Rush Limbaugh made these people feel like, you know, we're together and, you know, we're in this together, and played on fears and hatred. And, you know, if somebody had, you know, racist ideas, Rush would find ways to validate them and make them feel like, okay, I'm not really that bad of a person because I'm not the only one who feels this way. So, you know, this, I don't know, I don't even know what it is. It's a brainwashing of the country. There's always going to be that sect. But I mean, I think that, I don't know. I think it's really important that, oh my God, it's just really important that we vote, because we got to change this around. I mean, I'm like, my mind is kind of swimming right now and going off into every avenue.
No, because it's dire.
Yeah.
Because it's on my mind all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. And I'm trying to think of times when I'm not thinking about our democracy being in constant peril. and the only time that happens is most of the time when I'm asleep and I'm mm-hmm. completely unaware, or if I'm in the band room with my bandmates, like, rocking out. Although, you know, now we're playing this benefit for Andrew Jans on September 21st, and we're trying to think of, like, all the political songs we're gonna add to the to the set list.
Uh-huh.
And so I want to open up the show with American Idiot, and I'm gonna go, this one goes out to Devin Nunes, and I'm gonna wear. Okay, so I'm gonna. Can we go off on another tangent?
Of course.
Because this is happy and it's fun. So I am going to, I've been in touch with Claude Taylor.
Oh, yeah?
Because he, you know, he's done all this Mad Dog Pack
yes.
stuff. He's got, you know, swag, and they, you know, all the money that people donate to the Mad Dog Pack goes out to all these amazing billboards that have literally, I think, helped flip districts or win primaries. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You know, he put a billboard up about how, about Crooked Chris Collins ages ago, right? Now, and I have a, I bought some, the NRA as a terrorist organization stuff from him. Like I've got the t-shirt, I've got the billboards. I mean the hand signs. I've got impeachment now all over the place. It's on my suitcase. It's on, you know, it's in my window when you walk up to my house, on the back of my car. But Claude had tweeted the other day that he was thinking about making orange prison jumpsuits. And I'm like, and I, so I DM'd him and I'm like, Claude, is there any way this could be ready by September 21st? Because I'm doing this benefit for Andrew Jans and I really want to take the stage wearing one. And he's like, I think it might be doable.
Oh my God,
so,
that's so cool.
So my plan is this. Okay, September 21st in San Francisco, for those of you who are listening, for those of you who are in the neighborhood or able to get there, this is a benefit for Jans for Congress. Andrew Jans is running neck and neck with Devin Nunes in one of the deepest red districts in California. It's California 22. And Jans was a virtual no-name, other than to the people of Tulare County and to the Fresno-Modesto area. He is a prosecutor. He prosecutes violent criminals in his district. And he was born and raised in Visalia, went to law school, came back, and works in Visalia as a prosecutor. The dude is so solid.
We interviewed him. Yeah, I was just going to say, we interviewed him.
And you know, I mean, like, it doesn't get any more like for the people than Andrew Jans. Mm-hmm. And Andrew Jans is now, they're both at like 47%. And Devin's in a heap of trouble.
Yeah.
As we know right now. So they're looking at some, the Jans campaign and Heather Grevin, Andrew's campaign manager, and Kate Worth, his planner and events, you know, guru, those two had the privilege of being, of standing in Ted Lieu's backyard a couple weeks ago, I told you.
Yeah.
And they met them all. They were all there.
So
Avenatti walks in the room.
Yeah.
I mean, all of the congressional candidates in the state of California were there. And so they have reached out to some very interested big, big wigs in the Democratic Party nationally who are looking out to come out and support Andrew Jans. And then my band is going to play. And I'm going to take the stage in a freaking prison jumpsuit. And I can't decide what I'm going to... But then I'm going to strip it off and have something like leather and sexy beneath. But on the back of the jumpsuit, I want to have... I want to paint something that says maybe, womp womp, or what should it say? I don't really care, do you?
Yeah.
Or prison, it's what's for dinner. That's kind of one of my faves. You know... What does it say? I need your help, and I'm willing to take suggestions from our listeners and our supporters.
Yeah, yeah. Let us know what you think.
Yeah. So again, September 21st, 7 p.m. It's there are three tiers. You can get in for $100 at the door. You can go $250 for the VIP, and then you get your picture taken with all the politicians and stuff, and the celebs that come. And then there's the $75 young professional, and that I'm not sure, but I mean, look out, follow Jans for Congress, and all that stuff's going to be, you know,
and it's
publicized very, very
soon.
Jans for Congress.
Yeah.
And that's his Twitter handle. And it's going to rock. And my band is called Las Brujas, and we are going to like, nobody leaves it on the stage like this working cover band. Let me just tell you, we literally collapse when the show is over.
Yeah.
It's the best.
Well, you're all energy all the time.
Until I can't walk the next
right.
day.
Okay. Well, now I want to change the subject and I want to ask you something because I put up a poll and I want to know what your answer is. So if the president, let's just say in 2020, our options for president were,
you know where this is going to go.
Michael Avenatti as a Democrat or Steve Schmidt as a Republican. Who would you vote for?
If I had to vote today?
Yeah, between
those
two.
Based on what I know?
Based on what you
know. Based
on
what I know? Oh, my God. I was ready to say Steve Schmidt, but I have a real problem with crossing that line into Republicanism because right now, it's about fuck the Republican Party and all that they have done to this country and to the people of this country. But, oh, my God, I love Steve Schmidt and everything he stands for. But I don't know if I could give the Republicans a win. Then on the other side of it, I know I'm not just saying yes or no to Steve, but Avenatti, like, the dude isn't a fucking politician. And I feel like at this point we need somebody who knows politics running for this office. Again, I don't, you know, I jumped on the Oprah train for 24 hours and then I came off and I said, all right, I was crazy. I was high off of her fumes. Yeah. Right. But I don't know. I don't know, Kimberly. I can't answer that right now.
Well, you know, I mean, at this point in the game, I would go with Steve Schmidt for this reason. Number one, Michael Avenatti is blocking liberals on Twitter who disagree with him and who are calling him out on some things. I don't think anybody running for president should block anybody on Twitter. Fucking Jill Stein does that. We all know the Orange Menace does that, or at least used to do that. And, you know, with Jill Stein, the way I called her out. I wasn't friendly, but she blocked me. And I feel like you want to be president of the United States, not of the Green voters.
You better thicken your skin, mother.
Yeah, and you should at least try to convince me to like you. You know, I mean, Hillary Clinton said to the people who were criticizing her, you know, I'm on your side and I hope that I can convince you. She wasn't running around blocking everybody that, you know, talked shit about her on Twitter or Facebook. I also think with Avenatti, he's great at what he does. He's a lawyer. He's a good, you know, pit bull kind of, I'm going to go out there and he's a good alpha liberal. I think that he's good to have on our side, but I think that he represents the kind of liberal version of Trump, not that he's, you know, a Russian agent who would be installed or anything like that. But when I say the liberal version of Trump, in that he is more about screaming and like, I believe we need somebody who's strong, who can go up against Trump, who's strong and can take all his bullshit and can counter it. But I don't think it should be countered by somebody who behaves in a similar way to Trump. I believe it should be somebody like Sally Yates or somebody like Swalwell or whatever, who's going to have a calm, measured approach. You know, even Elizabeth Warren, when Trump says terrible things about her, the way that she handles it is with class and dignity.
Yeah.
Avenatti
and she's brilliant.
Yes. Yeah. And Avenatti doesn't have that class. He's got the street smarts and the fighting skills, but he doesn't have class. And I think we need to bring class back into our government.
Well, and decorum. And also, you know, here there's a protocol. This is American politics. Where's the diplomacy? Like, Avenatti doesn't bring diplomacy. He doesn't know how to be a diplomat on behalf of this country. You know, he's brilliant and he has worked very hard for people.
Yeah.
You know, people call him an ambulance chaser. That's gross. What if you're, you know, the people that worked at Kimberly Clark who were injured as a result of there being a toxic substance in uniforms that they had to wear that were manufactured by Kimberly Clark. He brought the largest class action suit in the state of California against them and won. That's not an ambulance chaser.
No.
That's somebody who's seeking justice. My father died of asbestos-caused cancer.
How awful.
You know, there are lawyers who fight on behalf of those families, on behalf of 48-year-old widows with young children who need to still put food on the table.
Yeah.
That's not ambulance chasing.
No.
I don't buy that. You know, I don't think that's a fair assessment of who Michael Avenatti is, but I don't want Michael Avenatti as president of the United States. However,
right. I mean, if he's that the choice,
is who, right. If he's the choice, I'm
well,
voting
I mean,
for.
I'd have to obviously, I'm glad I don't have to cast my vote today. I'd want to hear what Steve Schmidt has to say about taxes, about abortion. Obviously, he wouldn't be a legislator, but I'd like to hear his thoughts on healthcare. Like, would he be okay with dismantling the ACA? If he was, then I would vote for Avenatti.
I don't think Steve Schmidt would be okay with any of that.
No,
Steve Schmidt's now an independent.
Right. He'd have to probably run. Well, he could run as an independent, but then that would be a confusing thing. But I mean, I could see where he would say, all right, I'm going to run as a Republican because I want to try to bring reason back to the Republican Party, which I think is a wasted effort at this
point.
Then
I would say no. No. Because there's no bringing reason back to the Republican Party. So I'm glad we talked this through. That would be a no. I love you, Steve. I do love you. He was so brilliant on Bill Maher last Friday. Did you see?
I did. Yes, he was great.
Wasn't that a great panel?
I would still have to see what he said in any kind of a debate. I want to see what he says about foreign policy. I'd want to see, you know, his overall ideas and how much he'd be willing to reach out to the Democrats and who he would choose as his running mate. Like, what if he chose a Democrat as a running mate?
Nicole Wallace.
She couldn't stand Sarah Palin and she was the one in charge. And I believe, you know, he was all about Sarah Palin, although I know he didn't really like her. But still, we can thank him for Sarah Palin. And I think Sarah Palin became the face of the Tea Party. And she freaked me the fuck out.
Well, I think she got the whole thing fucking started.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think they were already there. But then when she came out onto the scene, I think it gave them a face. And it gave them a lot of power. Not,
she didn't get the Tea Party started.
Right.
I think she got stupidity and politics started.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
Accepted. Yeah. And brought... You know, it's all form, zero substance.
Yeah.
And she quickly, you know, I mean, she lost that for McCain.
Yes, she did, thank God.
There's no question. Like, that was a shit show, and they couldn't get her out of there because, you know, but thank God.
It was just too late. I'd have to know more about Steve Schmidt before I could absolutely cast my vote for him. But I have a tendency to trust him, I don't think that he's just somebody who's trying to make a buck because Trump is president and he sees an opportunity. I think that he's genuinely disgusted by Trump. And I also believe, when Charles Blow basically called him out on that Bill Maher episode because he was kind of saying, you know, oh, you know, the people who are never Trumpers, the Republicans who are never Trumpers, basically got us into this situation in the first place. And so I agree with Charles Blow, but I also welcome people who kind of wake up and see the light. I don't think that those people should be demonized. I don't think Steve Schmidt should be demonized. What I would like to see from Steve Schmidt is just a little bit of a like, you know what? I saw things this way for a long time. I don't even expect him to say he was wrong. I would just like to say I see things differently now. This was my moment of awakening. Trump was my moment of whatever it is. I'd like to see, it's not that I'm expecting an apology. I don't think they owe us that. But, you know, like this guy that we were going to interview today came out and said, I was wrong. You know, I thought one way and now I think another way. And I appreciate that. You know, I still respect Steve, even though he hasn't said it, or at least I'm not aware that he has. Clearly, he's had a change of heart.
Yes.
But it would be nice to just hear him come out, because same with Nicole Wallace. I absolutely adore her. I don't know where she stands on abortion. I don't know where she stands on many, you know, policy issues, but I respect her and I believe she's intelligent and I know she doesn't like Trump. And I do know that she's more interested in the truth than, you know, pushing propaganda. So I respect that from both of them, but it would be nice for them to kind of like say, all right, we had a part to play in this and we recognize that. We now see things differently and, you know, we're on the side of the people or whatever. That would make me happy, you know, for them to say that. But, you know, will they? I don't know. Probably not at this point since she's got a television show and, you know, he's all over cable news all the time. And, you know, I mean, I'm all about Steve Schmidt. I think he's awesome. But as far as presidential choice, I mean, I lean toward him right now, but that doesn't mean I would vote for him because I'd have to see their debates. I'd have to see, you know, how they both handled themselves. And hopefully it won't even be between the two of them. Hopefully it'll be between like Sally Yates and John Kasich or something.
Do you just want to throw up when John Kasich puts his face on TV?
Yes, but I would like for him to primary Trump and win. I would like for him to knock Trump off the ticket in 2020.
That would be fantastic.
Because I don't think he could win as president.
That was my next question. Yeah. Do you think he... Okay, so what do you think about... You know what I want to see? And I had this discussion at dinner last night with some really, really heavily political and very active friends of mine. And my friend Nick brought up, he goes, I don't want three people to run for president, for, you know, the Democratic nomination. Martin O'Malley, Hillary Clinton, and Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
I want 17.
I think we're
going to
get that this
there.
Time.
Yeah.
I know. And so should we create our list of hopefuls? I mean, you and I are both on that Sally Yates. Like, we're not the only people, right?
Yeah.
Are we just crazy? Are we just dreaming? Have you heard any rumblings that she might consider getting into politics?
No.
Because she turned down, I think Georgia wanted her to run for governor.
Uh-huh.
People, you know, and she said, no thanks. So I don't, you know what I want to do? I want to stop wasting my time on pie in the sky shit.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get real.
Well, like, I mean, I think Sally Yates is probably considering it. I don't have proof.
You do? Why?
I don't know. I just think she is. She went on Rachel.
In your bones, you think?
Yeah, in my bones. I mean, she was on Rachel Maddow not too long ago. And when I was mm-hmm. watching her, I thought, oh my God, you know, the thing about her, she's got the Southern accent. So in a way she reminds me, even though Elizabeth Warren doesn't have a Southern accent, Elizabeth Warren has that kind of like sweet voice that mm-hmm. makes you feel comfortable. And so mm-hmm. does Sally Yates. She's got that same kind mm-hmm. of tone. And I think that she's so incredibly intelligent. And I don't know that she necessarily has relationships with members of Congress, but I think that I would prefer to have somebody who has relationships with Congress, but I will make the exception for her because she comes across as somebody who is so all about being fair. Mm-hmm. You know, like she's not just going to walk up and go, fuck you, GOP, which of course we all feel that. But, you know, I mean, I don't want to see her, like, let's say she were president. I wouldn't want to see her go as far, bend over backwards as much as Barack Obama did. And I understand why he did it, because I think that he wanted the first black president. He didn't want to create like all this GOP hating drama. I think he wanted mm-hmm. to just be stable and calm mm-hmm. and measured. And he was. So I don't fault him for his choice and how he behaved. But moving away from that, I would like to see Yates, again, not be angry toward them. I'd like to see her reach her hand across the aisle. And if it gets slapped, then she's like, well, I gave you your shot. Now it's game on. Mm-hmm. You know, and yeah. I think
right.
with her background, I think that there is a good chance that she could be that way. And, you know, I mean, obviously, we'll see what happens. Because as far as dream tickets, I mean, this Adam Best yesterday wrote, name your favorite presidential 2020 Democratic candidates who aren't one of the six. So he wrote Biden, Booker, Gillibrand, Harris, Sanders, Warren. I'm going to say out of those six, though, I'd say Warren and Harris, Kamala Harris, are my first two choices out of that six.
I don't want to hear a word from Gillibrand. I'm never going to forgive her for what she did to Al Franken.
Yeah, I think she's got...
Until she comes clean and says, I fucked up.
I fucked
major.
Up. Yeah, I feel the same way. I think that's going to be a drag on if she runs. And I think she will run.
But put her in the field.
Yeah. Fine. I mean, whoever the Democratic nominee is, whatever. I'm going to vote for
them. A festering carbuncle?
Yeah.
We're voting for
including Bernie Sanders, who I'm not a big fan of anymore.
I would vote for him.
Even though
too.
I don't want to.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'd vote for Biden, but it's like, dude, stay home. He's so popular in all these polls and that's great, but no.
Yeah, but I'd take him. I love Joe. You know that.
I know everybody loves
Joe. Here's a scenario. What if it was Biden-Harris? If that was the ticket? Okay, we go Biden-Harris. Biden gets people riled up again and feeling that good feeling, and we've got this unbelievably capable and incredible person in Kamala Harris who who is, you know, being, she's a forceful senator. She's known across the country. And he steps away after that first term. And then we get Harris as president with somebody else righteous as the VP. And she goes for two terms.
Yeah.
That's my, that's a fantasy
well,
that I have.
I could go along with that. And again, if he's the Democratic ticket, I would vote. But frankly, you know, I would prefer to see a woman. That's my preference. I would definitely prefer to see a woman. But, you know, however it winds up, yeah, I'm going to be supporting them. And I would definitely, I mean, I would like to see Elizabeth Warren. There's a little bit of mm-hmm. fear with Elizabeth Warren, and I'm not sure how she's going to translate as a presidential candidate. Obviously, I love her. I think mm-hmm. she's just amazing. And she's got my vote. I completely adore her. Mm-hmm. I worry though, does she have the chops to run as a candidate? I don't know. We'll see.
I think she does. You know what? Here's the thing that you were talking about Sally Yates, and then you mentioned Elizabeth Warren, and the two of them.
Oh my God, they would be great together.
Oh my God, help me.
Yates, Warren, Yates, I don't care. Put it up
either
anyway.
Way.
Yeah.
Either way. They're both so brilliant. And you talk about them having these voices that, yes, they're soothing. Mm-hmm. But part of what goes along with that is Sally's very measured. She when she was testifying in front of the Senate, you know,
yeah.
the day before she got fired or whenever that was, I thought this woman has that calm, measured mm-hmm. approach that Barack Obama has.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. But and Elizabeth Warren is... She never trips on her words because she's so true mm-hmm. to who she is at all times that there's no reason for her to trip. She doesn't have to think and try to switch, you know, what her message halfway through the sentence
yeah.
because she knows what she is. She knows who she is and she knows what she stands for. And she's brilliant.
Yeah. And
okay?
it would be fascinating to watch them.
And that is calming. And the two of them kicking ass across the country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Holy
and
Christ
then, like,
almighty.
Let's just say they did have to go against Trump. I mean, what a sight to watch
oh,
the debates.
Can you imagine the shutdown
yeah.
that would be taking place in a debate? Can you even
and like,
imagine?
You know, I mean, and in Pence. Whoever
Lord.
Would be debating Pence. Oh my God.
Yeah, well, if it was Warren Yates, can you imagine Sally Yates talking to Pence, knowing what she knows
yeah,
and how
yes.
complicit he is in all of this.
Yeah. Oh,
with
wow.
his drunken love look in his eyes when he's like, you know,
his
thinking
slobbering
about Trump.
His slobbering servility, as Steve Schmidt says.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Well,
Warren
yeah,
Yates.
I mean, I think at this point in the game, Yates is my number one choice, and I hope she decides mm-hmm. to run. I think number two would be Kamala Harris. Number three would be Warren.
E-dubs.
Yeah.
Yeah. And would you take Warren? Would you take Warren Harris in that order as the ticket?
What do you? Yeah.
I mean, would you? Could you get behind that? Like we're getting behind Yates and all that.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'll take anybody, but I mean, I'd be happy to see any combination of them.
I think if it were Warren, it would have to be Warren Harris because
yes.
just Elizabeth pulls
right.
rank. You
yes,
know?
I think she does. So I could definitely see Warren Harris. I mean, I don't know. I honestly don't know how it's all going to go down and who's going to get what, but I do think there's going to be a huge pool of candidates on the Democratic side this time. And it'll be a fascinating, oh my God, it's going to be fascinating, horrifying because, you know, hopefully we will get the House back and we'll change up some of the rules and make it more difficult for Russians to infiltrate because that's mm-hmm. the scariest thing. I mean, I'm worried about the midterms, but I'm more worried about 2020 because it's easier to hack or to mess with a presidential election because you've mm-hmm. only got two candidates to focus on. In this case, in the midterms, you've got so many different candidates and so many different races that it's difficult to really fine tune. I think the way that they can do that successfully, unfortunately, is what Malcolm Nance and actually Bob Seska has been saying for quite some time, which is all they need to do is hack one of the computers of the people who are, you know, taking in the election counts. The election mm-hmm. officials. So they don't even have to hack machines. The machines mm-hmm. can be accurate, but then the vote totals can be changed on a computer and mm-hmm. that's the, you know, official number. So that is extremely frightening to think about that. Let's just hope that we're not going to have to deal with that But, you know, I guess we'll see. But I think the presidential election is a little bit easier to manipulate.
And if he's still in power at that time, and they're not fighting this cyber war like he hasn't been for 2 years, mm-hmm. we could be in big trouble.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're gonna flip the house. We're gonna flip the house.
We're gonna goddamn.
And
flip
we may
the house.
Take back the Senate.
I hope we do.
And we may take back the Senate. We just got to get out there. I'm trying to figure out a way to get out to D.C. on the day that the Senate's going to speak with Brett Kavanaugh during that hearing. I feel like we have to protest at every turn, because this SCOTUS thing that's a lifetime deal.
Oh yes.
You know, we're gonna get rid of Trump in 2 years, but we would have Brett Kavanaugh and his 10% vetting on the court for the rest of his life.
Yeah, and that, you know, I'm sure you heard...
And he's younger than me.
And I'm sure you heard the Devin Nunes tapes where they were like, okay, we want Kavanaugh to be confirmed. That's why we're not pushing for the impeachment of, what's his name?
Rosenstein.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah. Fuck them.
So I think...
Honestly.
All right, well, I think it's time to start wrapping up. And don't forget that you can support our show by becoming a monthly subscriber at Patreon.
$5.
Yeah. Patreon.com/meup. $5 gets you into our next segment and another thing, which God only knows we're going to talk about, because I haven't prepared anything, but I have so much to talk about. So we'll just see where it goes.
Mm-hmm.